Mark, the energy device that Tesla was working on, why did it finally just die and go away, and why didn't he keep trying to push it? What happened? Was it all because he couldn't get the money to do it?
I think specifically talking about the device that he was using to directly tap what he called etheric energy was an incredible danger to the financial infrastructure of the J.P. Morgans and the other robber barons. You had oil magnates. You had people that had a lot of money invested in the current power structure, meaning literally energy. And if every home in America could directly draw the electricity they need to run their own household from a device that gave no profit to these men, it would ruin their concept of empire.
Well, if it ruined their concept of empire, I'm sure they'd try to figure out a way to do it, but you're right. And how would this thing have been designed? I mean, would we all have had little receivers, let's say in our homes, apartments, wherever we may be, and this just energy would constantly be shooting out?
Well, I think the best way to explain it would be to explain his Pierce Arrow car experiment.
All right.
And with the Pierce Arrow car experiment, which was in 1931, he took, and from what we've read, with the blessing of the Pierce Arrow Corporation, took a car and took its internal combustion engine out and replaced it with an 80 horsepower alternating current motor, which is not a horribly large motor. It's only, I think, 3 foot long, a couple foot wide.
Mm-hmm, right.
And when he showed up to do this experiment, he had with him...
And this is 1931, right?
1931. So we're talking, you know, almost prehistoric.
you're right.
Prehistoric compared to the technology we have today. But he shows up with his... And some of the stories conflict on this. Who was his nephew, who wasn't? His nephew, Peter Savo, was there. And some reports have that there was an aeronautical engineer who was friends with Savo. His name was Derek Aller. And purportedly, Nikola Tesla shows up with a briefcase or some sort of suitcase and pulls out a little black box, which has been referred to over and over again in so many different writings about Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And this little black box had an array of unusual-looking vacuum tubes, which none of these men had ever seen before. They were indeed vacuum tubes, they knew that much, on a strangely configured circuit board, and it had two little metal push rods on it, or some sort of rods, which after Nikola attached it to a fitting on the dashboard, he pushed these rods in and said, the vehicle is now powered.
And then?
And there was an antenna, some sort of antenna that was attached to the back of the vehicle that was cabled into this fitting where the box was, and he gave the key to his nephew, Peter Savo, and says, go ahead and start the car. Well, Peter turned the key, and there was no turning over of the motor, as we would expect in an internal combustion vehicle. And then he applied his foot to the accelerator, and away they went.
Off they went.
Off they went. Sometimes upwards of 90 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. Now, for how long, did they say?
They ran the car around the area that they ran in and out of the city, for upwards of 9 days, regularly breaking speeds of 90 miles an hour.
That's incredible.
It's beyond incredible.
Look at what this would have done, Mark, to everything today. It would have changed socioeconomics. It would have changed worldwide politics. It could have minimized some of the problems we have today.
If you think about the disaster with Hurricane Katrina and how quickly a centralized power distribution source was taken out by a natural disaster, if everybody in the New Orleans area had been on an independent power source that was off of a grid, the amount of inconvenience suffered by the people that lived there and the rescuers and all of the people that were there would have been minimalized by half.
All right, so that was 1931, 74 years ago. 74 years ago. Somebody today could have come up with this technology by now. If this guy had it, and maybe it wasn't really perfected, but it sounds like it was, 74 years ago, this could have been a home run.
You know, it's funny you said that because as I looked into Tesla and as I searched the internet and as I searched documents and as I looked through anything I could find on him and this radiant energy tapping device, I started coming across articles. and bulletin boards where people mentioned, oh, I knew a guy who knew a guy who had done the same thing as Tesla. But when he got it to work, these guys showed up, men in black, if you will. They basically said, don't do it again, took his stuff, and he mysteriously disappeared a year later. His house burnt down. And initially I thought, you know, this is just people, you know, being hypersensitive, active imaginations. But I started seeing a pattern in many different regions of the United States, and it's almost like Bigfoot sightings, you know. The only thing that ties all of this together is the technology.
And it seems like, Mark, just talking with you and reviewing some of the things that Tesla has done, that this design that he had for free energy, the death ray, and all these other ideas all just seemed to stem around what he believed could be pulled out of the atmosphere, pulled out of the universe, the cosmos, right?
Well, what Tesla believed was is that ambient energy entered to the Earth, enters the Earth's atmosphere. We'll take sunlight as an example, as one of those things. He believed, well, he was always at odds with Einstein about the concept of energy. Einstein believed that energy existed as a result of mass. Tesla believed it lived within the spaces between mass, between the spaces in an atom. And he postulated that this energy exists in our very atmosphere and that it flows around us like a river. And all one had to do is find a way to, I guess you could say, put a scoop out and pick it up.
Why is this guy's life appear to be a mystery?
I suspect that it's a mystery because I guess like anything, anytime something is so either advanced or so strange or so different, it scares the status quo. And the status quo at the time looked at him as a threat to what they were trying to build.
All right, the Pierce Arrow car, once he did his experiment in 1931, I mean, and he walks away with his little kit. I mean, didn't anybody say, give it to us, let's do it right now? I mean, what happened?
There, I've found fleeting reports of investors that had initially showed some interest in this and then mysteriously, all of a sudden, weren't interested anymore. And why somebody would become disinterested in something that would have been the most revolutionary engineering advancement in human history up to that point.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You're talking about something, like you said, would change the entire eco-sociological state that we live in. Everything that we work for nowadays wouldn't even be here. I mean, I go to work to pay the power bill. I go to work to buy gasoline to get to work. None of those things would be relevant.